We've taken a look at our relationships together as brethren. We've taken a look at our relationships in the family and in marriage. And we've just taken a look at the leadership in the ecclesia. And brethren, all of these things are part of the divine arrangement. You know, we don't often stop and think about that. And we really appreciate, we just want to give you a reference to start off with, reprint 1889. It's the earliest that I can find. Brother Russell really at length talks about the ecclesia and relationships. It's as if early on he thought everything, you know, that the mighty present truths that were being revealed were so important that the brethren would just, you know, behave themselves together. They'd be okay. And then he saw that here the brethren were coming out of all the different churches, and you can imagine if you came from a Catholic church what your expectation of a service might be, or if you came from a Quaker church or Presbyterian. There are all these different concepts. And so Brother Russell writes this article decently and in order, basically to say to the brethren, the scriptures do give us guidance with regard to our meetings. So, brethren, we just want to mention, this is really a harvest truth, because just how the ecclesia is to be edified and built up was lost sight of, along with the other things that we've looked at already in this study. So it's part of the harvest message, and again, we'd really like to focus, brethren, this is a holy arrangement meant really for the completion of the church. It's a temporary arrangement, but that is meant to prepare the church, the great ecclesia, for the work on the other side. So we'll dive into our first question, and brethren, this is really a wonderful question. I will break it down into two parts. What are the spiritual needs of the church? Now, the second part of that is how those are helped in the meeting. Spiritual needs of the church. Who will be brave and start us off? Sister Bonnie.
Just in a most simplistic sense, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay, that's very good. That really hits two aspects, doesn't it? It's both the character development, and it is the understanding of the word. Appreciate that. 2 Peter 3:18. Yes, Sister Lynn.
Same thing. Brother Russell sometimes talks about head and heart.
We really appreciate that, because, you know, brother, you really don't appreciate the truth until you appreciate it with both. Both are critical. Okay, so we see those aspects, brethren. Now, Brother Russell, in this section, he actually mentions four things. So we'll push you for two more. I think you've hit the two highest there. Sister Gretchen?
I just want to make a comment. Just as a, before the spiritual needs can be met, the physical needs have to be met. And it's absolutely true, because a person can't focus on higher things if they're not, if they don't have a place to live, if they don't have food. And we have seen these in, seen this in some of the ecclesias.
And
this is where the brethren help.
You're getting to the point, if we see our brother have need and we just say, have faith, the Lord will take care of it, then we've done them a disservice. We're being unfaithful.
That's right.
I appreciate that. You made us think, too, of the perennial issue among the Bible students of setting the temperature in the meeting. You know, that we think it should be cool enough that everybody's awake in the meeting. You know, just anyway. Further on the four points is the spiritual needs in the ecclesia. Sister, I know your name. Sister Leslie, yes.
Oh, Sharon. He always calls me sis, so that's why.
I was looking at Hebrews 10:24. Thank you. Let us Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And I think that there's another rendering that's Diglot or Weymouth that's a little bit kinder. But I think the provoking here is not to stir up one, it is to stir up one's mind. And I think that that's what the meetings are about, are one of the assembling ourselves together and the meetings.
Yeah, we really appreciate that because we don't often, again, explicitly state it, brethren, but the Lord deals with his people collectively. That's what the ecclesia arrangement is about. And so it is important. You know, you could get the idea that it's easier just to learn it on your own, go off, be a holy hermit on a hill, and, you know, but that isn't the way the Lord arranged it. There's a body that needs to work together, both on this side and on the other side. Brother Joe in the back.
I think on page 314, Brother Russell lists these four spiritual needs.
Yeah, he's mentioning page 314, brethren, while we work on the mic. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that. So we'll go over the four, brethren, for those online that missed Brother Joe's comment. We had earlier mentioned instruction and really the character development, or we could say devotion. Brother Joe added just the idea of expression. You know, brethren, that's really important, that we be able with our mouths to state what we believe, to share with others. And along that line also, you know, brethren, when you study the truth, do you get it right away? Do you find a need to ask questions and to talk about it and to kind of, I find I need to probe it sometimes, brethren, to really get the depth of the point. And that's a part of our meetings as well. Sister Rosemary.
That's what I was going to say. I think once in a while we need a question meeting as things come up, you know, and you think you'd like to talk that over with the elders and with the class.
Okay, very good. And I think Sister Rosemary started us then on the next portion. If you recognize these needs in ecclesia, you could ask yourselves, you know, is my ecclesia arrangement fulfilling those needs? Is there opportunity for, you know, doctrinal instruction? Are there opportunities for, you know, character development in the meetings? Are there opportunities where there's a question or a difference for that to be expressed? How would those things be met? Just speaking generally, friends. Brother Paul?
A practice that we have in our class is we have the morning resolve and the vow and the manna. We not only read it, but we discuss it openly. Every time we meet, we do that, and it takes about 15 minutes. It gets the ins and out. And that's one practical way to discuss those things in the class.
And we appreciate that. We found that a blessing as well, that's really adding a devotional aspect to every meeting with the manna discussion. Appreciate that very much. Other comments on how these needs can be met in the ecclesia? We had the question meeting mentioned as an opportunity, the manna discussion. Brother Don?
Don Nussel from Seattle. Each of these topics that are involved here, we're dealing with the last one now, but with all of them, the underlying thing is that the ecclesia bears the ultimate responsibility for these decisions of what the study meetings would be, of who they would elect, each of those members of an ecclesia, make these decisions, be only consecrated, casting their vote, a proper order followed. This tends all for the protection and uplifting of all concerned with the meetings. Now, the class votes someone of service who takes the position that but not reigning, the class has the ultimate responsibility for making that kind of mistake. Also, it's thought of the harvest work going on. This is nonsense as far as I see it. 242 in the pastor's mind. The harvest uses the term harvest and harvest work all in one paragraph. These terms were thinking of one, he was thinking of the other. Now the class has the responsibility for knowing what the truth is and making their decision prayer of what the Lord's will would be, rightly discerning truth. Class has the responsibility when a brother comes along and feels he has to write a book. They're ignoring Ecclesiastes 12:12, which says, maybe I should read it. My son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is the weariness of the flesh. Now, this is eldership. It's not comfortable from the standpoint of the flesh, but there's weariness connected with it. But that weariness is also with each member of the ecclesia, being diligent. Probably said enough for now.
Well, Brother Don, we're going to go back and take the core of your comment because we think you've really got the fundamental point that, you know, brethren, each ecclesia we know is autonomous. We don't have a headquarters that says do this or do that. And when you really look, brethren, at, we would say, the essence of what underlies the ecclesia, really it's the giving up of liberty for the benefit of all. That really is. The ecclesia gets together looking for the edification, the building up of the body. And so the ecclesia will adopt those arrangements. And I think that's part of why the class asked this question, that we should look at the needs of the ecclesia and arrange our meetings to meet those needs so that all are edified. I think that's really the basic point. Now, before we go to question two, is there anything more you want to say about then the nature of the meetings that we should have? Sister Jan. And thank you, brethren, for prompting me. My mind goes blank sometimes.
Well, I think one of the most important parts of the meeting is also the testimony meeting, where we can all come together because we are building up one another in the most holy faith and sharing the experiences and using the manna for that particular Sunday or that particular day, and then be able to share with those of like precious faith what has been happening in our lives, and we can see examples from our brother, and they're there to help us. I mean, it's just, I think it's probably the most important part of, or one of the parts of the weekly meeting is the testimony meeting.
Very good. Thank you. Sister Gretchen and then Sis.
You can call me Sis too. I think it's very important, you know, in the body you've got, as we talked about yesterday, you've got people at all different stages of their consecration and in their walk. And the meeting has to be an environment where an individual can feel comfortable asking any question that they want to ask as it relates to the study. Because, you know, you have people of different intelligence and maybe they feel, some feel that the way that they present things is maybe too simple or too ignorant. And you don't want a person to feel like they're not allowed to ask the question or they're going to be ridiculed for it.
We appreciate that. It's really a one-room schoolhouse that we have. And we're on the lookout for all, from the babes on up, for the good of all. Sister Sharon.
Brother John, I was thinking that there, Brother Ed Grabner in your class helps us along with those testimony meetings, as he and Sister Gail have put together a little booklet about all the manas and the comments for the year. So if anybody wants to see Brother John about Ed Grabner's address or email address to get one of these little helpful mana article books for the year, to go along with Sister Jan's thought.
Okay, thank you, Sister Sharon. So friends, we've mentioned all but the most obvious, of course, our study meetings. And, you know, brethren, we couldn't help but think with Sister Gretchen's comments, and when you think about where we are today on the stream of time, you know, in the church's history, there were hundreds and hundreds of questions about everything. And we're living in the day when basically all of those questions were answered in a very concentrated 20-year period in the volumes. You know, and friends, I was in a Baptist church. I asked all kinds of questions, and you know what the answer was? They were very consistent. It's a mystery. They didn't know the answer. Friends, we have the answer. So those study meetings are really important. I'd like to go on to question two then. And why should doctrinal instruction be an important part of the studies and the discourses? Why is doctrinal instruction needed? Sister Sharon.
Scriptures 1 in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So coming to the studies, we diligently seek him. And then the other one is in James 2:2. You'll have to come back to me, I'm sorry.
Okay. Sister Rosemary up front. Go ahead and raise your hands, brother. We like to have a lineup to answer the question.
John 8:32. We should know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So we have to study the doctrines so we'll know what we believe. And then 1 Corinthians 14:8, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? And we're battling for the Lord, you know, fighting the good fight of faith. So we need to know these things.
Very good scriptures. Thank you. Sister Bonnie and then Brother Robert.
I think we need to know what we believe, and we need to confess that belief, as was brought out in the volume. And I think that it's only through really a Berean study that we can express ourselves on various doctrinal subjects. And I think this is really important. We talked about, you know, how we could know our elders, and we can also know our brethren and their fruits by the comments which they give in studies. And they show the fruits of their studies and their thinking. And I think this is very important, because the other thing we can do through our comments is it gives our elders a chance to admonish or correct us or confirm our thoughts. And then that way we can better know what might be a correct course to take along the study.
Very good. Thank you, Sister Bonnie. Brother Robert.
I had a scripture for you. This is Acts 8, verse 30 and 31, part of a narrative. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, that's the Ethiopian eunuch, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?"
I appreciate that very much. The Lord has used others to help us with our understanding. Yes, Brother Paul. Yes, please keep those hands coming. We want to keep Brother Alex very busy.
There's a parable called the Lost Coin. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. There are 10 coins that the woman has that goes on her head. And one of them was lost. And, you know, it's your interpretation of what you think it's lost. I think it's the second presence and restitution. It's lost in the Bible student movement. So you might say, well, so it's lost. But the Lord says in that parable, it spoils the other 9. 10 is complete. And that one that was lost gives that all 10 of it the value of the coins.
Your Brother Paul. Sister Janelle.
Well, it's good to keep reviewing too, because we're all leaky vessels, and once we've learned something, and if we don't go back and review it. There's so many details to God's plan and beauties and harmonies that if we don't keep reviewing it, we can tend to forget some of them.
Yeah, and you know, brethren, it's good sometimes to try to take the long view, too, in the sense of what, you know, we mentioned earlier about truths that, you know, were not understood by the church early on. But if you take each feature of truth, I think we can find a character aspect that relates. We don't want to talk about doctrine separate from that, but just as one example, if you take the doctrine of hellfire, okay, that the Catholic Church and others hold, you know, how is it that you could have an institution like the Spanish Inquisition, that you could torture others? Really because of that doctrine. You know, if you're going to burn in hell for eternity, does it matter what is done to you in this life? And you can see how what they believed would turn into a practice that was so heinous. So the doctrines are important to us, brethren, because they reveal the mind of the Lord to us and what, you know, we should be doing in this day. So we have the seventh message, the seventh trumpet. You know, we live in the day of such abundance, brethren, and I appreciate Sister Janelle's comment. It's good to go over, forget. I can tell you, the older you get, the more you forget, too. So it's important to go over. Other comments about the importance of the study meetings, doctrine in those, Rosemary, and then we'd also like to focus a little bit on discourses before we pass this question.
I hesitate to say this because I'm guilty myself, but I think we need to practice decorum. And once in a while in our class, we have a study on that because we fail to get orderly in time. Sometimes, you know what I mean? Get ready for the meeting. Be seated and ready rather than have to be told. And other things about decorum, respect the Lord. We're in the Lord's house. We're in the presence of God, so... It's important.
I appreciate that. And would you remind me to come back to that later if I forget? Because I think there's an important thing that relates to one of the questions. Sister Sharon.
The scripture in James was one, James 1, and it is 22. James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And then it goes on to the perfect law of liberty. But the thought here is that not only do we study, but we also tell or say forth. And to do the work, we need to know what the word is and to be study of that word. There's a thought that Sister Janelle started on sixth volume on page 316, and it brings up that not only the leaky vessel, but he says that we must have a line upon line, precept upon precept, that we continually renew, review our study of the divine plan of the ages, using whatever helps and assistance divine providence supplies, seeking so far as possible to obey the apostles' injunction, not forgetful hearers, but doers of the word, and thus doers of the word. That's a James context.
Yeah, we appreciate that very much because, you know, the scripture tells us, lean not to your own understanding. You know, brethren, if we don't listen to the word, we're leaning to our own understanding. And what we may think is right and wrong, well, first I can tell you, mine is misses the mark greatly sometimes. We need to have the instruction from the word and lean on his understanding. Sister Evelyn.
I appreciate a point Brother Russell makes on page 315, that the influence of the knowledge that we have has a effect upon our hopes, our aims in life, our direction in life, and our conduct. And so we have to be careful what doctrine we are coming to understand and appreciate, and yet it is important that we have that doctrinal understanding. Coming to meeting today, I was listening on the radio, and you're probably all aware of this Baptist group that likes to go to funerals and have these protests and tell people, you know, the reason their loved one died was because of sin, so forth and so on. Well, this group now is saying that this congresswoman that was just shot in Tucson was shot because she's a sinner. And they're trying to save people from going to hell. And so they have this conduct that is so, you know, upsetting to other people based on this doctrine that they believe they're really trying to save people from going to hell and burning in hellfire. And if they didn't believe that, their conduct would be completely different.
We really appreciate that, because it is what we believe is what motivates us to do. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Did you have more? Okay. Other comments, friends? Brother Len.
John, I'll just bring in the point about discourses, because you asked about that as well, and it's part of this question. A doctrine is really what sets us apart from the majority of Christianity in a way. They all preach sometimes good character, you know, living well, but it is a social gospel. The difference is a purpose centered around the elements of the truth. And I think doctrine in the ecclesia is a place where a lot of that should be handled, because that's where you can address the individual needs of people in understanding these, whether it's in a study where people get to ask questions, or one particular area where, let's say, you as an elder or someone else, some of the class say, I don't really understand this. Why don't you give a discourse on this? Well, I think that's great. Something like the second presence, for example, where it is more complex and you can go through the detail of why, you know, we believe the Lord returned in 1874 and why that's an important doctrine and how we get there, because this is something that wouldn't get anywhere else. And I think it's much easier there than in a convention, because you have people of all different needs and you need to address a much broader group. And sometimes at a convention, certain discourses may be hitting about 5% of the brethren, because that's the level sometimes at which it's addressed. But some of the basic doctrines need to be addressed at the ecclesia level, and I think a discourse helps to summarize it. We had a class at one ecclesia we were in where we took each chapter of the first volume, and the elder gave a discourse. Here's the essence of this, what is taught in this. And you had questions going on afterwards about what this was. It's a very helpful way to summarize what the basic truth is for those brethren, where they can ask questions and then get to that understanding at the ecclesia level, which I think is an important part of the ecclesia development.
We appreciate that. So the Lord has provided both sometimes for a concentrated lesson in a discourse. Sometimes it's needful in our studies, if you probably all have experienced this, you can kind of lose the forest for the trees. We get so focused sometimes on a paragraph or a page. Sometimes it's helpful to have an outline of a subject to give you the overview of the entire thing. And the discourses have a place as well. Brother Dick.
I think Brother John just made my comment. But, you know, in our studies, our volume studies, which I believe are essential in our ecclesias, we move along so slowly that we continuity of the big picture of the chapter. And it's a great thing to do, is to go through and take a chapter and make a discourse out of it. But in our topical studies, we could have more cadets, and also in discourses can. And the elders really have a responsibility to be alert to hints. But sometimes their brother won't come and tell you, but you can see that they have, by questions they ask, that a concentrated full discussion of that subject in a discourse is helpful.
Thank you, Brother Dick. Friends, one last thing to that, and this may come up more in the next question also, but you know, in an ecclesia, I believe the comment was made earlier that, you know, there should be room for all to be exercised in the ecclesia. So in the study meetings, and I think it was mentioned the testimony meetings too, we should really be looking for all to have a part and participate. We really like to emphasize that, because we all have something to share. We've been called and brought to this together. We appreciate the cooperations of the brethren. If you haven't commented yet, brethren, this would be a great opportunity to come forward. The third question is, when we have differing views, how should these be presented in the ecclesia? Sister Bonnie. And we're going to do the how first, brethren, if we can, and then we can talk about when.
Well, we have a couple actual examples from classes that we've been in where those have had differing views. And each time they've been given, that individual has been given a structured time to express their view. And once that structured time was over, it wasn't brought up again. In one instance, we had someone who kept bringing up and bringing up and bringing up, and we actually, in the ecclesia, made a ruling that one, that a certain subject couldn't be discussed for more than 10 minutes. And that individual left once we made that. So it was kind of an interesting way to handle an individual who just wouldn't stop.
We appreciate it. That's a good overview of the subject. We'd like to add a question here, brethren, and just the question is why? Why should we have this procedure of, you know, allowing different views to be presented? Why should we do that? Any comments? Brother Dick?
I'll answer with an example. This happened in the ecclesia I was a part of, and actually a member of the ecclesia wanted to have an elder from another ecclesia come and express his views on Israel, because he did not believe that Israel had a lesser position in the kingdom, and she wanted, you know, someone who was able to express it more fully. Well, the ecclesia considered it and decided to do that, and they set aside one Sunday for that purpose. But it was done in a manner so that the speaker had an hour to present it, then he had to answer questions from the ecclesia for an hour. And I think the benefit is then that the brethren can see, you know, where the scriptures don't seem to match up, those accept that view. To that view. And so it provides instruction, but not have it as a continual disturbance in the ecclesia.
Okay, very good. Thanks for starting us, Sister Gretchen, and then Sister Janelle.
Sometimes it's a person that has the different view is correct, and the ecclesia is going along with the elder, that there are some classes that let's see, how can I say this so that I...
Yes, be very careful,
yeah,
Sister Gretchen.
That the elder is more like the pastor. And so they go along with everything that he says. Instead of them doing their own studying, whatever he says is correct, he sees the elder. And it's really a unfair position to put the elder in, but there are classes that are like that aren't very good, big, they aren't students themselves. They rely on the elder to do the studying. So they believe whatever the elder is saying. So if a person has a different opinion, that person may actually have the correct opinion. And by bringing that up and having maybe a study on it, it's stimulating to the brother. And maybe the, you know, I just want to give that as, I've seen that in classes. Like I said, there's a lot of different classes. They're all autonomous. They run their classes in different ways. I've seen classes like this in Europe where the elder is like a pastor more.
And, you know, brethren, there are different cultures. In some countries you have kind of a tribal or a clannish situation where the oldest, you know, brother is expected to be the elder. Those can be real challenges, and brethren, questions are very valuable. They really are. Really help to reveal when it's needed. So we don't always want to assume that we've got the right view and we're just tolerating listening to this, you know, because there may be something for us to learn. Appreciate that. Sister Janelle.
I was just going to quote on page 318, Brother Russell says, no matter how confident we are that we have the truth, it would certainly be unwise for us to shut and lock the door of interrogation and contrary expressions as thoroughly to exclude all that might be considered error by the leader of the meeting or by the entire congregation. And I think he was looking at past church history, and he saw, you know, a trap, you know, that, you know, the church fell into extremes of just demanding people believe things and not being able to conscientiously believe them, like sincerely believe them.
Very good. Thank you, Sister Janelle. Brother Alex.
Well, I think we have to also test what our beliefs are. So once we study and prove a certain truth by allowing other views to be presented, we test what we believe. It's very vital to making that truth our own and making that truth change our life.
I appreciate that. You know, brother, there's value both to the one who gets to present. I mean, brethren, when you listen to someone, you're saying you value them as a brother or sister, you know, in that case. They may need to express it just to have it corrected. Some are like that, you know. There are situations where some have it and they can't let it go, and that's a different situation. But we don't want to assume that we know how this is going to be and that we can't hear anything different. You know, that's really what the spirit of the nominal church is, I think the brethren have brought out, not to be able to ask questions and probe a subject. Come over to Brother Robert now.
Brother John, it seems to me that we're talking about large differences that occur within a church. But there's also very minor differences that happen all the time. We have minor differences in the way we understand a scripture. Sometimes that's a result of, you know, the language that we use, definitions that we put on words. You know, it's even a function of our background. I think in those cases, the open discussion in the ecclesia really helps. It helps everyone come to an understanding of the truth.
Yeah, go ahead, Brother Robert. Well, you know, brethren, one thing Brother Robert brought to mind is just the importance of understanding the question. You know, you know, an experience where a sister made a comment in the meeting, and she commented something about the ancient worthies, and the brethren heard that and thought, well, that's not the ancient worthies, and they spent 20 minutes correcting the comment, and then they came back around to the sister, and the sister said, well, you know, I meant the great company, I just said the wrong name, you know. So sometimes it's helpful just to try to clarify up front to be sure you're on the same page in the discussion. We appreciate that. So it applies to smaller things as well as larger, too. Appreciate that. Other comments? Brother Lynn?
I was originally going to read that section that Janelle read, but I think that's important. I think the other thing we must recognize, and it goes to what Brother Robert just said, you know, we probably agree on 95% of the truth. And I think I mentioned this to you, John. There's about 5% that probably we don't agree on, and that's where we like to spend all of our time talking. But that 5% are things like prophetic issues, things that may be types, are things that are very important parts of studies. And I think it is important for us to give a fair hearing to those that have this other viewpoint. And the other thing I would encourage, there is no class creed. We don't say this is the way this class believes. Maybe the elder says that, but that's the way he believes. Class is free, should be free, to express their viewpoints, and they should have the right to have those viewpoints. And if we're not encouraging a well-thought-out position developed through scriptural reasoning and just saying this is what you should be believing, we're not really encouraging proper Berean Bible study, the things that I think Pastor Russell was saying. That's why he cautioned us to have these meetings periodically where viewpoints can be expressed, because otherwise we're suppressing the brethren to develop a creed based on what someone has said this class will believe. And fortunately, we do have some situations where elders dictate what the class will is acceptable for the class to hear.
You know, brethren, this is just a brief comment. This is where I think it can be very tricky, because we want to hold the banner of truth as high as we possibly can. We've been given so much understanding of truth. at the same time, friends, you know, we're not all at the same place. Prophetically, we don't all see the same thing. And friends, the adversary is one we believe that wants us not to listen to each other. The brethren have been through periods where they've just totally cut off. I'm not going to listen to that viewpoint. I'm not going to meet with those brethren. You know, I can't deal with that. Brethren, we think that's really from the adversary, that the Lord wants us to be open and to discuss. Now, our goal is always to edify, to lift up, to hold high that standard of truth. That's where the challenge is. It's both a character thing and, you know, an understanding matter. Okay. Any other comments on that? That's, I think, a real challenging point. Brother Dan?
Just a couple of scriptures. We have a scripture that says that we are to be able to give a reason for the hope within us. So we have to be studying together, just following up on Brother Len's comment. And then Isaiah 1:18, where the Lord says, come, let us reason together. And we do that on the scriptures.
You know, Brother Dan, we appreciate that, because if the Lord says, come, let us reason together, he's appealing to our conscience. Is that not how we should approach one another? Sister Sharon.
Brother John.
Thank you.
I'm still in the back study.
We're on question three in this study, Sister Sharon.
Thank you, Brother John. Two scriptures I have. One going in connection with the asking somebody if they have a different viewpoint to state it, and then after that to let it be. When we listen to someone else's viewpoint and then we know our own viewpoint, we go to the scripture of Romans 14:5, which says, let every one man esteemeth one day above another, esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And that goes, thinking about fully persuaded in his own mind, that goes back to our own personal studies and the studies within the class when somebody expresses or uses another scripture that maybe we're not familiar with. But again, it helps to understand the study better. And then the other one is Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that's what goes back to a lot of our study, the whole study, is that we all want to stand fast in the gospel of Christ, and we want to be proven faithful.
And you know, brethren, we want to just mention here, brethren, do you want to speak the truth in love? When is that really exercised? It's when there are differences. How do you deal with those? Do you respect the brother or sister? And are you able to express your thought in a way that's helpful? And that's really the essence behind that point. Thank you for that, Sister Sharon. Let's go on to the fourth question then. I didn't get the when. Some of the brethren talked about putting limits on, you know, if there's a differing view. Is there any comment about that? Why would we put a limit on? And how long might we do allowing an expression? Brother Dick?
Well, in the sixth volume in the reference, I can't cite places because my computer is busy with the translation. But Brother Russell says that should be periodic. He suggests once a year. And incidentally, we had a sister in class I was in for years that believed the church is on the new covenant. And about once a year, she'd say, I don't want you to think my silence is accepting of your viewpoint. But, you know, I still believe the same. And then you didn't hear anything from her for a year. She's a sweet sister. And I think that was the right approach. But the thing I wanted to really mention, particulars, when Brother Russell suggests this once a year, he says a year later they might request, but the class is not required to hear it again.
they feel it's worthy of hearing again, that's fine, but they don't have to have it brought up again. So I think something that has been totally rejected by the class doesn't necessarily have to be heard elongatedly.
You know, Brother Dick, just before you let this go a minute, why do you think that the sister held her fire, so to speak, during the year, that she didn't bring up her, you know, thoughts on the new covenant?
I think because she respected this very form of order.
So she gave up her liberty really for the good of the class.
Yeah.
She could have interrupted with it. And we really appreciate that point, brother, because that's really the example if we have a different view. Thank you, Brother Dick. Sister Lynn.
Another reason might be that just the statement of a belief is a setting the record straight of where I stand, and you don't need to do that all over and over. Public statement, they can hear or forbear, and you're done.
Very good. That's a temptation to restate and to argue, and we appreciate that point. No, I don't mean restate and argue what you said, Sister Lynn, but when there's disagreement, there's a test to feel like you've got to restate your position. You can hold your fire, brethren. Okay, the fourth question has to do with the testimony meeting, and why and how is this an essential devotional meeting for our character development? Sister Gloria.
I'm looking over, there's so many places, but it seems like this is the only place where we can practice sympathy and understanding for each other. Pastor says Christian is not all head and no heart, or all heart and no head. So there's a balance, but this is where we can show our love and devotion to the Lord, how we're taking our experiences and growing by them. This is to be an example of growth to our brethren. Seems like this is quite a necessary part, so we can sympathize with the world if we're seeing what others are going through, and we're all different. We all have different experiences. We're going to maybe see a little broader of the world, what they're going through, and it will round us out so we can be more useful to our Heavenly Father and the world of mankind that we want to bless.
Thank you, Sister Gloria. That we appreciate that. I mean, you mentioned opportunity to be sympathetic, to be an example, to receive the example of others. And really, I think you were mentioning how we can enter into each other's experiences, which is important. Thank you for that. Other comments, Sister Lynn?
Well, from my own personal experience, testimony meetings have been very character developing, because normally, and when I started, I could not get through a testimony without crying, sobbing. Brother Russell says that when we testify, it's not supposed to be about something 20 years ago. He says what we're testifying is the condition of our heart, like for that week. So what we're sharing makes us very vulnerable to one another. If we're being honest, and if we are really saying what's on our heart, in the world you don't do that because it's dangerous, because people will use that information against you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think learning to do that is building spiritual character. The other thing is this is where we really see our brethren, their new mind. We're in the flesh. We can't read people's hearts. So unless they expose their hearts, we don't know who they are. We can sit in meetings for years and some brethren will never say much of anything or testify. You don't know who they are spiritually. So for someone like myself who never wanted to do that, I think it's only fair not only to build our own character, but to share it so that the brethren can know who we are.
Very good. We appreciate that very much. Other comments about the testimonies? Gretchen.
But there's a lot of brethren that are going through a lot of emotional struggling. And the testimony meeting is a place, especially if you have a real close, some of the ecclesias have gone through, well, for example, our ecclesia last year, we had three deaths. We had deaths of two elders, and now you've got these two sisters that whose husbands were dying, but they, through the, you know, we, you know, with the testimony meetings, they were able to vent their feelings of what it was like, you know, losing their spouse, and the brethren can comfort them. That thing that probably wouldn't have been brought up in a regular meeting, just the emotional things that they were going through. Yeah. But also, you can have a person that's going through an experience where another person may be going through something similar, but they're too timid to say anything. So, you know, with, you know, especially I think in a convention type testimony where you have a lot of different brethren, where you have a lot of different experiences, they are comforted by the thought that there's other people going through similar experiences and what they're doing about it and how they're getting through it. And so I think testimony meetings, and this is Brother Russell's favorite meeting. He said testimony meetings are essential.
Very good. We appreciate that very much. Brother Ken, you're up front. Ken.
I just wanted to also say that I think praising the Heavenly Father is so important in testimony meetings. And sometimes that's the only chance we get to do that around the brother in that format is to praise our Heavenly Father in the testimony.
Thank you for adding a beautiful point. And brother, this is a meeting we all add to. We all have that opportunity. Bonnie.
Just a scripture along that line. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I think it's very important that we do show forth the growth in our character and the recognition of the Lord's leadings in our lives during the week. And as the pastor suggests, I do think it's a good idea to take the scripture from the testimony and try to look at it and look at the ways that it does affect your life during that week. I also think there may be times when we have other extenuating circumstances, like they were already mentioned, that need the help and maybe sympathy of the brethren. And it's really good to be able to have a small, intimate class where you can express those, because I just think it's really hard to express it in a large forum.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Sister Bonnie, Sister Sharon, and then Brother Dan.
Two thoughts, Brother John. First, there is the little thought on 6th volume, page 320, and as been already stated, up-to-date testimonies, condition of the heart, testimonies, prove helpful to those who hear, and encouraging and comforting. And I appreciated Sister Gloria mentioning about sympathy with one another when you're going through something. And then the scripture that we all know that we learned real early from Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So sometimes it is a little fearful to talk about your different experiences before the brethren, that they will not take it differently than what you're trying to explain. And I've had that experience where somebody took my testimony completely way away from what I was trying to say. I'm not very eloquent in describing things or saying things. So sometimes I'll choose a hymn that's been on my heart as my testimony. And I think that we should encourage ones that don't say a lot in testimony to have a hymn or bring a poem or something like that to show. I know some classes, everybody just testifies. It's just normal that you're going to have everybody testify. But I happen to be in a class where not everybody and sometimes Brother Jerry will even say online that some of the usual ones are always saying, you know, a testimony or expressing a testimony when there's 10 other people or of our brethren that are online that could say something just beneficial to all of us. But they just are shy about expressing their thoughts.
Thank you, Sister Sharon. Brother Dan, we're going to have to sum up and go on.
I really appreciate thoughts of that have just been presented about a small, intimate place where you can express your testimony. And what was said earlier, that it should be a place where you can divulge your heart. And that goes to the concept that testimony meetings should be a safe place. And it's every member of the Ecclesia's responsibility to make it a safe place that we can share our hearts and bring out how God has worked with us during the week, whether it has been a disciplining experience or a victory. And we need to enter into those experiences. I think it's the one meeting that really reveals the spiritual development of the Ecclesia.
Yeah, we appreciate that very much. You summed up some of what we wanted to say. Just to reiterate the point, brethren, the Ecclesia environment's for all the brethren. We want to create one that meets the needs of all the brethren. And this is, Brother Russell thought, the most important meeting. Now, friends, we've heard a lot of comments. Just to kind of sum up, I think this meeting is about, I'm going to call it character cultivation. You know, when the truth was being revealed, boy, you can see how the brethren would want to dive in and just study everything all the time. And they could neglect character development. And it's being conformed to Christ as to whether or not we're going to be faithful in the end, friends. So it seems to our mind that Brother Russell was trying to say to the brethren, you need to start really analyzing your experience. So consider this text. Maybe it's peace, maybe it's gentleness, maybe it's whatever. And really think about that quality, how it applies in your life during that week. That's a very practical way, brethren, to start working on your character. We need that focus. So we really encourage your friends, with the testimony meetings. The other thing, brethren, going back to Sister Gloria's original comment, you think about the privilege of entering into others' experiences. You know, brethren, the Heavenly Father gives us a multiplier in His Scripture. You know, in Hebrews, when he talks about when we are the companions of those that are ill-used, really through the testimony meetings, we can enter into each other's experiences. Some of the brethren, they take copious notes on the testimonies, not to scare anybody. You know, they're being recorded, but they do that to remember what to pray for specifically. They enter in that way. We really appreciate that example. Real quick, Brother Lynn. Go ahead.
John, you just raised a point that I think is important. One of the things that we should respect is sometimes brethren do not want their testimony recorded for one reason or another. Helpful for others, I think, there is a respect we should have for people's privacy on some of the things sometimes. And so it's just something we should, again, that prize the ability to keep ourselves, to keep what we hear in a room sometimes. And that's important. Not do you know what so-and-so said at their testimony.
And that's part of that safe environment that Brother Dan talked about. Appreciate that very much. Our friends, just real quick on the last questions. The chairman's responsibility in conducting the study meetings. Any quick comments about that? Sister Rosemary?
Well, be sure everyone's on the same page, same subject, and not out in left field someplace. And be sure their comments aren't too long, like little sermonettes. And this is in regard just to study meetings you want, right? But even testimonies, they have to control the length of those sometimes. And you wanted to talk about decorum.
I think you started that for us already, because many of those things are about decorum. Starting the meeting on time, being sure we're in the same place together. Appreciate that. Other comments on the chairman's responsibility? Brother Robert?
I was looking for a reference on that. I've seen it before, and I don't have it at my fingertips. But it addresses the back part of that question about ensuring the participation of all members. Because Brother Russell talks about being able to put the truth or the doctrines into our own language, because it's only when we do that that we really begin to understand them. If we're just quoting a line out of the volume, then the understanding may or may not be there. We don't know. if we can rephrase it and put it in our own words, then we really begin to understand it. And I think it's the study leader's, part of the study leader's job to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to do that, especially those that, you know, sit back in the corner and hardly ever say anything. The responsibility there that they should draw them out.
Very good. Sister Lynn.
The studies I have enjoyed the most are where the elders promote an atmosphere of life. There's a spiritual collective life to the meeting that's exciting and edifying. It's not, as has been stated, we're just reading a line out of a book where everybody gets excited and gets into it.
You know, brethren, just to piggyback on that a minute, remember the ecclesia arrangement is one where we all give up some of our thoughts about how it might be best for us for the good of the whole. The best meetings are the one where all are edified. You know, brethren, I don't feel satisfied, and this is a little too big a group, but I don't feel satisfied in a study unless, if I'm leading, unless all the brethren participate. Because then I see, you know, they've all had something to give. I feel that's part of my responsibility. And brethren, the elders are the representatives of the ecclesia. They're acting in a capacity for the good of all. If someone's out of order, it's difficult. I don't like to correct others, but it's important to do that because, again, the issue is the edification of all. That's the bottom line. And we all give up something to that end. Brethren, that's one of the sacrifices the Lord loves the most. We give up our preferences for the good of all. Any other last quick comments? That's Sister Gretchen.
When he says, of course, first of all, brethren, I want to apologize for talking too much. But I think it's important that you pick up nonverbal cues, that elder pick up nonverbal cues, because sometimes a person may have a question, but they're not going to put their hand up because they maybe haven't thought it through. But by you can tell by a person's face or you can tell by a person's actions that they have something to say. And maybe you say, well, you look like you're, you know, questioning something, or you feel like, so I think that that's another way that, but I think that you guys all.
You know, we appreciate, Sister Gretchen, that they're all different elders in the body because they're all different ones, and some may not pick up nonverbal cues as well, but others do. That's why we have a variety, because no one is self-sufficient in it. So, Lord, that is blessed.